We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County, and all the parents who are out there listening today. They are rejoicing because today is the first day of school. And so now if you've got a kindergartner and they're going for their very first day, that's a kind of a gut-wrenching moment. But so I want to share with you, I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 29 today, and we're going to be talking about kids. That's what we're going to be talking about, and what God wants us to, how he wants us to respond whenever we see kids. And I will tell you this as we get ready to get started here today. If you see a community with children, you understand that there's hope and a future there. If you see a community that doesn't have children, I want you to know that it is in a precarious situation. And so that's just one of the observations that I have for you. I want to start off today by saying thank you to Teresi Auto Sales and Repair. They are on Clear Lake Road, just a couple of blocks south of Dixon, just a little bit south of the Winn-Dixie there. And they have just taken really good care of my family and their vehicles. See, I think four different vehicles I've had worked on over there, and purchased a vehicle through them as well. And so I recommend them highly. If they can be a blessing to you, give them a call, 636-4910, 636-4910, and let them help you like they've helped me. And I was talking with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said, hey, I've had a listener to your radio program call, and they said, we were actually very surprised. And so it helps to have somebody who's going to deal with you in honesty and integrity. And Joe and his team, his son, Michael, and, the rest of the men that work there, they do a great job. So I encourage you, give them a call, 636-4910. Let's get into the word today. We are glad that our youth and children's ministers are going to be arriving back. They'll be coming back and getting right back into the swing of things here in the next few days, and we're excited about that as we prepare our kids' ministry and youth ministry for the great things that God has in store for them in 2016. So Isaiah chapter 29. Let's go towards the end of the chapter. We're going to start reading today in verse number 22. It says, therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob, and fear the God of Israel. Those who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. So what you have to realize is that this time frame that Isaiah is dealing with right now is as Assyria is a growing power and threatening. They end up coming and wiping out the 10 northern tribes, and they get all the way to the gates of Jerusalem before God repels them. And so God here is reminding the nation of Judah. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. And he says, I want to remind you that I am the one who redeemed you. I was the one who came and purchased you. I called you out of the nations. I called you to be my chosen people. That is what I have called you to do. I paid the price for you. I have the receipt of where I purchased you from, you know, being the smallest and most insignificant people on the face of the earth. That is what you were when I found you. I caused you to rise to prominence. And he's reminding them that that they are God's possession. They are his chosen people. And I want to remind you today that no matter what the enemy does, it does not change the reality that God has paid the price for you and I. That when you and I look at the cross and we remember what Jesus did on that cross, that is his receipt. Those nail-pierced hands and the sword-pierced side, those are the receipt that God has that is evidence that he paid the price for you and I. The fact that he has ascended to the right hand of the Father shows that the price has been accepted. The Father is pleased. And so remember today, no matter what you are facing, that God is your Redeemer and he has a plan for you and I. He says, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale, but when he sees his children. So this morning, as you are driving down the road now, you know, many of the schools, 8:30, I think about the only school that hasn't started at that point in time is the high school. On Merritt Island, you can tell when high school is about to start because of how flooded the McDonald's is there. They like to go in there and congregate before they end up going to school. But when you go to pick them up this afternoon, you will see this. And I want to encourage you that when you see the children in this community, that they are not a burden on our community. They are indicative of God's blessing. They are to give us hope. They are to bolster our faith and our confidence. Now, when you look around at some of the kids and some of the things that they do, it can be most disconcerting, let's be honest. But I will tell you, several months ago, I was at the church. There was one morning, our children's pastor was there, their daughter was there, and they were struggling with technology. Now remember, the little girl is only four, and the children's pastor was struggling with technology, and the four-year-old says, here, Mom, give it to me. I will take care of it. And I tell you, first of all, I will say this about kids. Kids are a lot more acceptable of change than what adults are. When Jesus says, unless you become like one of these little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, I believe that that's one of the things is we realize that kids are constantly growing. They're outgrowing their shoes. They're outgrowing their clothes. We see relationships change, and we are devastated by it. Kids get a whole new class, a whole new set of teachers every year, it seems. There are many of the same faces, but people are constantly coming and going. Neighbors come and go. Neighborhoods change and all of that sort of stuff. So change is a reality in them, and they embrace it. And so whenever we get new technology, we talk about how bad it is. Kids just adjust to it. They overcome it. They master it. And so that's why, you know, back in the days when there were VCRs that needed to be programmed, you went to your teenager. Whenever I have technology needs, I tend to go to my kids. They're all adults now, but they are still on the cutting edge, technologically speaking. They know how to do things that I don't know how to do. And so I want to encourage you that that when a community sees children, and we're thankful for an increasing number of kids and young people at our church, that when we see children, we need to realize that they are the work of his hands. They are the work of his hands. Children are not intended to be a laborious burden. They are supposed to be evidence that God is at work in a community. Now, Jesus said this, if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for you to have a millstone wrapped around your neck and hurled into the sea. God takes children very, very seriously. That's why he says that he himself will watch over the widows and the orphans. Children are very precious in his sight. And so I want to encourage you, when you look at kids, that you do not look at them as some second-rate project, but instead that you look at them as a masterpiece in the making. Value children. Value young people. Place a high priority. Churches need to make them a high priority. The Assemblies of God, we have missionaries that go around the world, and in many of the countries that we have served in, the mindset of that community was that that children, they just kind of got the leftovers. And so what our missionaries did was they went in and modeled for those nations, for many nations, how valuable children's ministry and youth ministry is. If you do not value children in your local church, I encourage you to revisit that, rethink that, and recognize that they are the work of God's hands. And so it says, but when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst. So look around. Look around. What does the church look like? If you do not see multi-generations in your church, that should be one of those wake-up calls, one of those alarm clocks that go off and say, wait a minute, we need to find out what God has for us in the future. Now I realize that there are some generational issues. There are huge differences between, 60, 70, and 80-year-olds and 6, 7, and 8-year-olds. Huge differences. But I want to encourage you, instead of having a mindset that the church should be at generational war, let's realize that we, the older generation, have been given the privilege of pouring our wisdom, our life experience, and our love into a generation that didn't grow up with the same advantages that we did. Now, there's all sorts of modern comforts and conveniences that have been made available. Thank God for air conditioning and automobiles and all of that sort of stuff. But they have missed out to a large extent because of the fractured homes that we now have. Many of them do not have a father that speaks into their life and models Christianity to them on a regular basis. Many of them come from homes where there is just a failure to even mention things of God. I can remember when I was in school, we said the Pledge of Allegiance, we had a word of prayer. I can remember in the fifth grade, I believe it was, that I can still picture the Bible being on my teacher's desk. Now, that word is pretty much forbidden in our public schools. But we can still impact that generation if our churches will say, you know what? We are going to love on our kids. One of our missionaries, they serve in a small country, but they go in and the government has opened up every public school, every high school, every grade school, every middle school. They served their first 3-year term. They went there. They ministered to the kids. The community did not even have a word that would express love. When they got there and started ministering to kids, they had to look for creative ways to communicate to those children and young people the fact that God loved them. And so this public schools, now contrast that third world country with us, where we don't allow anybody to even mention the word God in school, those schools threw the doors wide open. The missionary had to come home for a year of itineration and raising the funds for another term. And the government, the schools told them this when they left. They said, "We are so thankful for what you have done for our kids and for our young people. When you come back, do more. Do more." And so, you know, when we sent our kids to camp this summer, there were some fundraisers, and we raised the funds to where we could send all of the kids to camp. We send our kids to camp for free because we know that God is going to show them that he is working in their hearts and lives. We want them to know that they are valued. Now, it says that when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. And so, and especially when a community was under attack, when they saw that God was blessing them with children, they did not say, "This is a terrible inconvenience for us, and right now we got a war to fight, and these children are interfering with my life." They didn't abort the kids. That is an issue that I am totally uncompromising about. Is I think that our society has made a grievous error since 1973, and when they said, you know, if it is inconvenient for you to be pregnant and it's interfering with your, you know, busy schedule and the wonderful plans that you have for your life, that you should go out and terminate that baby's life. That is exactly the wrong approach to take. We are supposed to say, "God, I've made some difficult choices." But instead of someone else paying the price for me, would you empower me so that I can train them up so that they don't make the same mistakes that I did? So we were blessed recently with our first grandchild. Time is already flying as to how quickly that is going. And you know, when I got to dedicate that baby several weeks ago now, it was a time of gratefulness. It was a time of worship. It is supposed to remind us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are crafted by God in the images of God, in the image of God, for the purpose of God, so that we can spend eternity, even now, in the presence of God. That's what children are supposed to do for us. I pray that when you see those kids as you're driving home, that you will not say, "Oh no, I'm in such a hurry and I've got to get through this speed zone and I can only go 15 miles an hour," that instead you will take the time and you say, "God, thank you that there's a future to come. Thank you, God, for the privilege that we have young people in our community. Thank you for schools and the school teachers. God, Lord, would you give them wisdom of how to navigate around some of the crazy rules that they have been saddled with, so that we can model Christ to those kids?" I pray that it will, that as you're praying for them, that it will cause you to remember not just the days of your youth, but it will cause you to remember the God who formed them and formed you. It says he wants us, when we see those kids in our midst, to worship. You know, we made an adjustment in our services here several months ago where our kids come into our service and begin the service there. We had so many kids in our kids' church that we had to make some adjustments, and you know, the older kids, now they come in, they sit on the front row. They take notes during the message. They pay attention Our youth leaders ask them after the service, so what did you get out of today's message? They are making sure that they are getting the word of God inside of them. And so we brought those kids in. One of the reasons that we did that was so that those kids would see that adults worship God. One of the other reasons that we did it was so that the adults who don't have any kids or grandkids in our children's ministry could realize what God is doing, and they could worship God and say, God, thank you. Thank you for the tremendous job that you are doing in raising us up. Look at verse number 24. It's the last verse. We've got a few minutes left here. And it says, let's see, what have I've got? Never become a prince of God without an holy encounter. So you and I, we need to, I'm looking at some of my notes, the kids that we should be worshiping God for are not just our biological kids, but our spiritual kids as well. So we need to realize that. There are a shortage of spiritual fathers, and we can fill that void in Jesus' name. Verse number 24, these also who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. Okay, and so we see here in verse number 24 that sin is a spiritual problem, not just a behavioral problem. It begins in the spirit. It manifests in behavior. And so if we have a spiritual problem, it initiates, according to this verse, from a lack of understanding. Okay, it's a condition in which we're born, but it is a lack of understanding. I don't know if you've ever tried to have a conversation with someone who did not understand what you were trying to say, but it can be a great challenge. There is a difference between someone who cannot understand and someone who refuses to understand. That's an entirely different conversation. For those who cannot understand, I lay awake at night. This is not theoretical. I've done this. I have prayed and asked for creative solutions. I have investigated. I have made every effort to gain understanding of how they come to understanding so that I can communicate the word of truth. And so a lack of understanding causes spiritual error. I believe it's in Jude, it says, these people speak evil of the things that they do not understand. And so with everything that is going on in America right now, there is a huge, I mean, there are so many divisions. And, you know, the word that God gave to me a couple of weeks ago, there are not only so many divisions, but there are so many subdivisions within the divisions that we don't understand one another. And so we try and compensate for that lack of understanding by screaming louder. I was in a meeting a few weeks ago and said the problems that we face in America are bigger than hashtags. They are bigger than tweets. We're never going to get anywhere, you know, with our snarky little comments and things like that. Whenever we are not addressing the real issue, and that is there is a lack of understanding. Now, it is one thing if you do not understand the things that I'm talking about. It's a completely different level of seriousness and sobriety that manifests itself when we do not understand God and His Word. And so I encourage you, if you want less spiritual error in your life, gain a better understanding of God, His ways, His word, His people. Understand what God is like. And so, especially when there are kids around, you and I, we've got to model. We don't just need to speak it. We've got to model it. We've got to live it out on a daily basis. And it says, and those who complained will learn doctrine. Now, I do believe this. I believe that every person, or pretty much every person that I've ever met, has a doctoral degree in complaining. We can complain about anything. In the wintertime, we complain it's too cold. In the summertime, we complain it's too hot. It's too hard. It's too soft. It's too loud. It's too quiet. You can stop me anytime I get to some of the things. The line is there's too much traffic. The wait time at the grocery store is too long. There's not enough of the product that we're looking for. We can complain. And basically what we do when we complain is that we are manifesting the frustration that things are beyond our control. We complain when things do not go the way that we have planned. You know, I've mentioned it before that Job and in one of the Psalms, it says, I loathed my life, therefore I gave free rein to my complaint and voiced the bitterness of my soul. We are basically, when we complain and murmur about the, you know, pardon me while I address this, about the sermon being too long or the pastor being too boring or too excited. I'll never forget where I got that one time. You're just too dynamic for me. It's like, oh, didn't realize that was a problem. And those who complain constantly, it's, listen, if you are going to bring a complaint, I want to encourage you to this, bring a solution. And the solution is not do things the way that I want them done. The solution is what can we do about this situation? And it says here that those who complained will learn doctrine. So let's get back. Those who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. We need to be better students of God's word. We have more tools available to us now than we have ever had before. Let's not ignore them. Let's utilize them. I was in a meeting here close to a month ago, and a person was talking about a very famous person as far as ministry goes, and they said, you know, whenever I talk to them at night, they are sitting there. They are sitting under the ministry of the Word of God by listening to preaching tapes of people that were their mentors. They are not just pouring out. They are filling up. And so I pray that you and I will be students of the Word. It said that the people of Berea were better than the people of Thessalonica because they opened the Word of God to verify the things that they were being taught. They studied it day by day. Don't just settle for the easy and convenient truths of God's Word. Get into the Word of God. Study it. Embrace the challenges. Embrace the things that you don't understand. Pray and say, God, would you help me to understand what you are trying to say? Help me to understand the nature of God, the requirements of God, the empowerment of God, the future that God has for us. Help me to understand my mission and my place in your kingdom. We're going to close out in prayer today for our kids, if that's okay. If it's not, we're still going to do it. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today. Lord, we will not be murmuring about the inconvenience of the kids who are striving to learn. But Father, we will recognize that they are your blessing, your inheritance. And God, I pray that you would train them up in the ways of God so that they would make fewer errors than we have. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.